from KQED.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Journalist Pendarvis Harshaw says artists and culture keepers are on the front lines of history. As host of KQED's new podcast, Right Nowish, he profiles the creators and the communities that shape them and are shaped by them, from Oakland, South Berkeley, the Bayview. Harshaw and Right Nowish producer Ashley Ann Krigbaum are with us to talk about what we can learn about the present and the past and future of our region through its artists and its people. Pendarvis Harshaw, thanks for joining us. Should I call you Pen or Pendarvis?
Pen is just fine. Hey, thanks for having me and us.
And Ashley Ann Krigbaum, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Pen, you described Right Nowish as about arts and culture, but it's never about arts and culture. So what does that mean?
There's always more. Always more than just some paint on the wall. Always more than just some dancer. There's a backstory. There's some deeper detail. And quite often, it's a philosophy that applies to the universe.
And it can reveal a lot about our life and times, basically, our present life and times.
Exactly. You pull one strand and you get the whole sweater. So, yeah, definitely.
So then, Ashley Ann, if you were to characterize or describe the purpose of this podcast, what would it be?
I mean, the purpose of this podcast, I've been working on, you know, helping shape what this new arts program would be at KQED for a year now. And for me, the purpose was to really bring in the sound of what it means to create and be a part of a creative community in the Bay Area. So taking, you know, things out of the studio and actually going into the field, going with a host who, you know, we both can kind of go into these different spaces and have people open up and then get the sound of what it means to be sitting in someone's, you know, artist studio as they're trying to mold the next big ceramic piece, or going into a school classroom with young artists who are learning, you know, how to just vibe with each other and their instruments. It's, I just really want to do that.
So let's hear a little bit of it now so that we can give our listeners a sense of Right Nowish who may not have heard it. And your debut for the podcast is the story about this artist, Timothy B. And before we play a clip where Timothy B.'s mom is talking about him bringing home some artwork that he did as a little kid, do you want to say anything about him?
Sure. Yeah, a little background. Timothy B. is an artist I've been putting paint where it ain't all around Oakland and beyond for some time now. And he did a piece dedicated to the late, great Nipsey Hussle. It's dedicated on Grand Avenue. I mean, it's on Grand Avenue. At the unveiling of the piece, he had a hodgepodge of just the Bay Area kind of represented. But he really had some, like, old school hood legends out there and, like, some, you know, old school cars. And I'm like, who, what's your connection to these guys, you know, who have some legendary names in the urban core of East Oakland? And he told me about how his family is connected to it. And he told me about his father and the time that they spent in 6ix9ine Village in East Oakland. And I went and talked to the family, and I realized that the story is really about the mother, Dana Blewett, who held the family together while the father was incarcerated.
This mother is pretty extraordinary, and let's hear her voice now. This is her describing how she first knew that Timothy B was talented.
Yeah.
The art came before anything.
Okay.
I first noticed it when he was in preschool. He was going to school not too far from where we are now. And he brought some of his artwork home. And at the time, Pokemon was really hot, you know? And so I'm thinking, okay, just like any other preschooler, you're going to have to really look closely, maybe turn it upside down and say, yeah, I can see the vision, you know? But when he brought his artwork home, it was like, now that's Pokemon. You know, that looks exactly like that Pokemon that I buy cards.
You can hear her love for Timothy in that. And also, you talk about Dana Blewett in a way that really does make how extraordinary she is come through. And one of the things that we learn is that Timothy B's father was incarcerated for some time. And she describes in this next clip how, well, you reveal that she kept that to some degree from Timothy B.
Yeah, well, yeah, so Dana describes the interaction as Timothy believing that his father works for the airport because he's incarcerated in a federal prison.
That required flying to get
exactly,
there.
Exactly, a lot of flights. And as a kid, you know, all you know is you're getting on an airplane. And so Dana went along with it.
Yeah, for many years. And so here is how she describes how she saw her family.
Yeah.
I never felt that we were a broken family. Mm-hmm. It was just different. Mm-hmm. Being in a family where the father is taken away, it's really lonely. and people think, why are you wasting your time, you know? And so you forever defending your position, you know, to the point where you don't want to be bothered because they don't understand it. And so you tend to shy away from people. I mean, I have my son that I poured everything I possibly had into because that was my number one investment.
What I loved about that first episode was I was actually expecting Ashiann Krigbaum a discussion about his art, how he does his work, you know, profiling him out there doing his mural, something along those lines and what it means. But instead, you really were just capturing a moment in this person's life and all the things or the biggest factors that got them there.
True. Yeah. So how that happened in this process, when Penn and I, before we go out into the field, we discuss like who's on our radar, what's kind of the stories that are coming through our different communities about who to focus on. And so Timothy B was like, yes, this Nipsey Hussle mural. We go and talk to Timothy in his studio, do an interview, get all this great sound, think we have the story. And at the end of it, he starts really opening up about his family and how that shaped who he is as an artist. And it was like, oh, we have to tell this story. We have to go back in time. We have to go see how this artist became the person that they are, because you're never just an artist. You are a full human with all of this experience, especially a story that's, you know, hits home to a lot of people here in the Bay Area. It was just like, oh, when we get to the chance to really sit in an interview, and, you know, even though it's a short podcast, like 15-minute, 10-minute episodes, it's an hour of interviews and getting deep. And when we do that, these are the kind of stories that come up. And it's really cool to have the chance and the support to go deeper with these stories and have Penn, you know, by my side, like us as a team going in and making it sing. It's awesome.
Yeah. To have the ability to tell a story, again, that's individual, it's very specific, but it relates to a lot of people. It relates to my story growing up in Oakland and, you know, being impacted by the war on drugs and seeing a family like, hold it together. And so, yeah.
I had you on forum in 2017. That was when you, Penn, had published your book, OG Told Me, about the advice that you got from striking up conversations with older Black men in Oakland mainly. And we talked about how that project was a way to connect with your own father at that time in that segment, who was also incarcerated for parts of your life. And when I was listening to you interviewing Timothy B's parents, who stayed together while he was incarcerated and then got married after he got out, I couldn't help but wonder what it was like for you, especially in the questions that you were asking Timothy's dad about what Timothy's dad thought of his son, who was so different from him.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. Well, first of all, my name is Pendarvis. My father's name is Pendarvis. They call him Tim. And so I'm like, whoa, parallel one. And then Timothy Blewett, senior, mentions Googling his name, and Timothy Jr.'s artwork comes up. It's not images of Timothy Sr. being incarcerated. He's kind of revitalized the name, you know? And I've had a similar experience through producing journalism. You know, you don't see my father's photo come up when you Google or Bing his name or our name. And so those are the things that come up, you know. And those were the two most immediate things that came to mind when I was asking questions and just doing the interview. And they weren't mentioned in the podcast, but, you know, those are little things I guess I took home with me until now.
Yes. And it also reminded me, you know, your work on OG Told Me was about meeting people, having conversations and building bridges and these very informal moments. And I feel like that's what really comes through, the presentness of right now-ish, and then the name feels so appropriate. I want to invite our listeners to join us. Right Now-ish is a new podcast from KQED that digs into the life of the Bay Area right now. Journalist Pendarvis Harshaw takes us to galleries painted on the sides of liquor stores in West Oakland. You'll dance in warehouses in the Bayview, make smoothies with kids in South Berkeley. And he talks to the movers and shakers about how the Bay Area shapes what they create and how they shape the place that we call home. And he does this in partnership with Ashiann Krigbaum, who is the producer for KQED's podcast Right Now-ish. And so what are your reactions to what you're hearing? Who are the local culture keepers and artists in your life that you think are shaping the Bay Area? And the number to call, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your questions or comments for Penn Harshaw and Ashiann Krigbaum on Facebook, Twitter, our website, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org.
Okay, so you've had a new episode just drop last night. Was that right?
Today.
Today, yeah, this morning?
3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Okay.
Standard.
That felt like last night to me. So tell us a little bit about this episode before we hear from the person that you profile, Nina Joyner.
Nina Joyner. Nina Joyner is the owner of Fillmore Adult Gallery on Telegraph in Oakland. And Nina is this creator, mover, shaker, entrepreneur. Nina created their own vibrator recently. And just that's the hook, right? And then beyond that, you learn that Nina also created porno films that are award-winning porno films. And Nina is involved in the church and in politics. And Nina takes their full selves no matter where they go. And yeah, it's awesome to see somebody just walk in their full selves. That's
so
what it's about.
You could have taken this story in the direction of, again, just profiling how incredible Nina is and the work that she's done. But you found this really incredible moment that speaks to the larger community. And I'm going to have our engineer, Danny Bringer, play it now.
I think when people come into sex shops and not just coming to buy a vibrator or a sex toy or a lubricant or what have you, they're actually looking for acceptance of what they're doing is okay and it's not shaming.
There's a certain art to that, to like making sure that people are comfortable. You know, I experienced it as a journalist, but you're dealing with something that's so like taboo, mm-hmm. and navigating that.
When you're so connected to the community as I am, you have to protect people's information. You can't be here and go out and blab. My mom would always say, don't talk under people's clothes. And that for me has stuck forever, because you can destroy a person when you do that to them. Because when there is a space for someone to share who they really are, they really share who they really are. And if you don't give them that, they shut down. They go into a darker place and they can't get out.
We're listening to a clip from the latest podcast, from the latest episode of the podcast, Right Nowish, by host Penn Harshaw and producer Ashley Ann Krigbaum. And I'm being told by our producers that Nina Joyner has called in just now. So let's see if we can get her on the line. Welcome to Forum, Nina Joyner.
Good morning. Good morning, Bay Area. How are you guys doing? Or the world. How are you guys?
Good morning.
That's
morning.
Right. Forum has global reach. No. So what's your reaction to hearing you on the air and hearing this episode come together?
Well, you know, it's just an honor as a small business to be profiled, and also from definitely Penn, because he has been doing work in Oakland for quite some time. And it's validating to know that you're doing the right things to align yourself with the right people and the right message. So it speaks more to, you know, who I am as a person, what we've built up in the downtown area. You know, retail stores are closing, restaurants are closing, but Fillmore is still there. And we can't be there without being profiled or letting other people know about us. And we're just grateful that we're doing the amount of work and the necessary work and touching the community in a certain way that allows others like Penn and Ashley Ann to say, hey, we want to profile you.
Nina, thanks for sharing that.
Thanks for the call. Nina's also still on the line?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're opening a new store soon, correct?
Yeah, we're going to be in downtown Berkeley on Shattuck, where we get a lot. There's a lot more foot traffic right there at the college. And I just am now a new, I got to finish my oath, but I'm a new commissioner in the city of Berkeley as well as in the city of Oakland. So it's not just for me, it's not just about owning a business. It's also about participating and being an economic influence, taking the money that I do make, but also investing the time that I can invest back into the community. And also just letting people know that it's possible. We can wear dual hats. You don't just have to take from the community. You can give back to the community. And I'm just very grateful for Lori Drafty over there as a council person, just hearing me out and, you know, them having a board, which is a loan administrator, where I don't have to be a Berkeley resident, but I'll actually be helping small businesses to get monies. And that's what it's about for me.
Thank you.
Well, Nina, thanks. And you have said, Penn, that this is a show that highlights people who are making art that speaks to what's happening right now. But how do you define what's happening right now? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, in the literal sense, the right now-ish term, the idea comes from me walking down the street, stumbling across a piece of art, taking a picture of it and posting it on Twitter. But not at the same moment I did it because the internet is weird, so you don't want to tell people where you are kind of thing. But, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, right now in the broader sense and capturing the zeitgeist of the moment. But in casual conversation, no one says zeitgeist because that's not cool. So we say right now, which, you know, right now, kind of lightweight at this time. So, yeah, that's what it's about.
Is it also about, you know, like right now I'm moderating panels that are all about the housing crisis, that are about the future of work and how it feels. So, you know, getting a solid job where you can afford to live in the Bay Area just feels further and further out of reach every month. Gentrification. Is that also the right now, Ashley Ann Krigbaum?
I mean, it has to be the right now. It's the context where all of this is happening in. And Penn and I are both from, you know, the East Bay. We've both been living here for most of our lives. And it's just, you can't help but just kind of see the past histories, see different levels of, you know, like oppression, different levels of just the good and the bad and all of. It's all happening at once. And it's really hard when you're a reporter to try to like get into just one story because you only have so much time. And with this show, just being able to play with like, yeah, it's about right now, but it's about what came before, what came after, what is happening in a person's day who's a part of this story, and kind of like chasing those rabbit holes a little bit, but not getting too lost too because it's only a podcast episode, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You can only tell so much, but in telling that little small thimble, you get a little bit of the culture that's all around it.
So how has it been, Penn, for you to be the host of a podcast? Like, did you feel like, did you think about what kind of voice you wanted to have, you know?
That question. All right, let's get real. So first of all, it's weird seeing my face on stickers and stuff. Like, man, I'm tired of seeing me. And then, yeah, the voice. Like, there's that NPR voice. And I had to just, like, no, I don't talk like that, you know? I want to talk like I casually do in a bar or on a street corner, and at the same time be well researched and well versed and making sure that I'm informing people, you know. And so it took a while, and we've been doing this. It started off with the radio show in February, where we had, you know, shorter snippets, and it would air on Sunday mornings,
two or three minutes or so. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and still will air too as the podcast is launched.
Exactly. And so, but that. Since February, I've been training, you know, I've been working. And so the podcast launching 3 weeks ago, I feel a lot more confident in my voice now.
Yes. Isn't that so funny to sound like yourself actually takes a lot of work?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nobody likes how they sound on tape, right? And so getting to the spot where I feel confident and say, okay, now I can play this in front of mixed crowds is a good spot.
Okay. So here's the other personal question then. You have moved from Oakland recently to the Bay Area after how many years living in Oakland?
I've moved from Oakland to Sacramento after living in the Bay Area since I was 3 years old. I mean, aside from the time that I spent in college.
So. And I mean, you've spent, you know, 15 or so years at least interviewing people in the Bay Area, writing about people in the Bay Area. So how has that transition been for you?
Still settling in. I realize I still have bags to unpack and stuff like that. It's been 2 months, and so I'm still learning different ways. I got lost in Martinez the other day trying to get home, you know, like things like that. But it's also expanded my just vision of what is happening in Northern California. So when I see housing development on the outskirts of Davis, I question who's going to live there, like what former East Oakland residents are going to live in Sassoon City, you know. And, yeah, there's more reporting to come with that and what's happening right now, which in a larger sense. Yeah.
Is it significantly different from Oakland where you live in Sacramento, do you feel like?
It's weird because it's quiet. It's so quiet. I'm scared. And it's really dark. You know, a lot of distance in between streetlights. Yeah. And just getting used to just small things like that. And in Oakland, I would walk out of my house and see five people that I know on the way to the supermarket or something like that. And so I don't have that same sensation. And I miss that. I do.
Yeah. You're probably experiencing some level of displacement there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had enough energy to process it, you know?
Yeah, you've been kind of busy.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, let me play just a little more. This is from your show about a country singing roller skater who then kind of changes her music a little bit or just sort of delves into new areas with it, inspired in part by roller skating, right?
Miko Marx. Yeah. What a story.
Okay, so let's hear her talking about the influence of country music and where it came from.
Okay.
I grew up on gospel. I grew up on R&B. I'm from Flint. I got into country because my mom was just, she was like a little hippie lady. Like, oh, check this song. This is Merle Haggard. Listen to this. I think you might like it.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind but Mama tried.
Again, from Right Nowish podcast, that's the episode about Miko Marks. And I loved that story because I think a lot of people can connect with country music.
Yeah.
And even in the most unlikely places.
Yeah. The fact, I mean, again, you see a group of people roller skating. You're like, hey, that's cool. I wonder what their story is. And you come to find out one person created a theme song, which is totally different than their whole other catalog of what they've done. They're an award-winning country singer. They've sung with Erykah Badu. It's like there's so much more than what you see on the level. And also for that episode in particular, Ashley Ann was out there like recording from all different angles of people on skates. I'm like, Ashley, how did you master the art of recording out by the lake with on skates? Well, you weren't on skates, but yeah.
I had to get on the asphalt itself and really like put my microphone and like kind of have different skaters just like make sure they came by and whizzed by. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, you see my arms, uncomfortable arm positions, trying to get in and make sure that you're getting, you know, that exact sound of like the potter's wheel or getting really close to like the needle dropping and, you know, having a DJ really, you know, mix records together. Yeah, I don't know. You just be the boom stand. You be the mic stand. You be one with it. And as you're interviewing, yeah, I just kind of am in the background just making sure I'm gathering all those little sonic gems.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because I have a question for you about the soundscapes you do create for this show, because you had to create, I mean, it was kind of a complicated one. You had to create for the sex shop owner, Nina Joyner, where you had to integrate some vibrator.
A lot of buzzing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, but the roller skating one in particular, I was really, really moved by the soundscape of that one as well and all
Thank
the integration.
You.
And I felt like I was roller skating. I mean, so how do you conceive of the soundscape? How do you create it? What's that process for you when you're really conceptualizing it?
I guess I'm really thinking once a pen pitches an idea of someone or organization to feature or talk to, I instantly start thinking, okay, where are we going to meet them? What is that space going to sound like? Do I need to get them into a quieter space or should we embrace the loud? Is it going to be like a kitchen? Should I be getting all the pots and pans at once? But then, you know, sometimes I have to think that maybe I need to just get one pot and one pan like separately, and that's something you have to arrange and be really like charming about, like to tell a chef, hey, I just need to like record a minute of silence, just like can you just not move or check your phone, like I don't know, it's starts with the pitch, thinking about what are all these different things I can try to tell the story with, all the different sounds, and then when you actually get in the space and you only have an hour, then it's like, yeah, trying to navigate, you know, human to human, how do you get these sounds that you need without disrupting the artist doing what they, you know, need to be doing. And so it's part, yeah, planning ahead and then part what the heck actually happened, you know.
She's a master. A master. Like I've seen her in Brookfield in East Oakland, in Central Richmond, and like in construction zones in downtown Oakland.
I was going to say the number one sounds, though, I will say of the Oakland, the sounds of Oakland right now and all the recordings, construction and the BART. Just BART, of course, always.
Iconic. Iconic. Well, our listeners are responding in response to who are your favorite artists that reflect contemporary Bay Area culture. Gavin tweets, for show, Stunnaman, a.k.a. Jordan Gomez.
Stunnaman, yeah, musician, yeah.
And you also put that out, I think, on Twitter. You were asking folks to write in with suggestions for people who are doing art that speaks to the now. Did you get anything interesting that you want to share?
I'd have to check my Twitter. Give me
okay.
a second.
Yeah. No worries. You don't have to do that right now.
Okay.
Just wasn't sure if you had any at the ready. I think what also I'm struck by when listening to your podcast is that, yes, you profile artists. Yes, you profile culture keepers. But they're really our Bay Area neighbors, just the very talented, lesser known people who paint and write and run sex shops.
And also, we usually have contact with so many people in their community. You know, I think like everyone we talk to is a beacon in some way. They're drawing people in and also giving back too.
So what are the criteria then, Ashley Ann Krigbaum? I mean, considering that you have a lot of options out there.
We do. I think what's really come out with this show is thinking about what makes someone like, what is the special kind of Bay Area-ness for local creators here? And I think it's people are doing three different creative things at a time. They're dedicating their life to multiple disciplines or multiple communities, or, you know, they're someone who's doing t-shirt designs like Hella Crafty, but then also doing grassroots, like, you know, getting supplies to local unsheltered people in their neighborhood. Like, people who are just, I don't know, I feel like that's special here in the Bay Area. I don't know. There's
yeah, and I mean, you hinted at it, but definitely something. We want the listener to be able to get involved in some way. So oftentimes the people we highlight will be affiliated with some type of organization or some type of grassroots movement that will be mentioned almost in passing. But if the listener is really interested, they'll find a way to get involved with the artist. And so that's the public service we're doing.
Do you want to give us a little taste of who might be coming up next in your podcast?
Do you want to talk about Kava and Off the Table?
Oh, man, yeah. Kava and Off the Table. People are going
to
love this
one. Also, shout out to Off the Table if they're listening.
Off the Table. So Off the Table, Oakland School of the Arts in downtown Oakland, they have a class that meets every Wednesday run by Kava Menzies.
Menzies.
And she basically lets the students are artistic for all different backgrounds. She gives them opportunity to get in front of the microphone and present their talents to their peers. And so we hung out for one afternoon or midday, and it was Tiny Table meets Oakland Kids meets the future of the world's talent.
Yeah, it was like they're doing Tiny Desk concerts every week with artists who are performing artists in their school. And then the whole class is taking on who's doing marketing, who's going to do the sound recording, who's doing the setup. Like, they're learning how to put on shows and make their own kind of musical communities. It's cool. Yeah, it's NPR's Tiny Desk, but Oakland School for the Arts. It's tight.
And it sounds good, too.
Yeah, don't so leave good.
So as you're doing these stories about people reflecting what's happening right now, how are you feeling, Penn, about the future of the East Bay, you know, the future of our region, given all the forces that seem to be acting against what many see as against its art and its, you know, I don't know, unique nature?
It's on the people. It's on the political will of the people.
Are you more optimistic, or do you?
It wavers.
Yeah. Well, I really recommend our listeners to check out Right Now-ish. They're short, they're simple, and they're deep stories, and done so well by Penn Harshaw and Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Thanks to both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks to our listeners for listening to Forum. From all of us here, we wish you a very good weekend. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.